A very good morning to one and all, and indeed, today is a very happy day. I'm sure that many will have feasting this evening, going out for makan, all right, to celebrate. And thank God for the privilege of ministering on this Mother's Day. And we are going to look at what God's Word is going to teach us. And I'd like to wish all parents, not just mothers, parents and grandparents, a very blessed day, a day of rejoicing. But before we talk about the happiness, Before we talk about the happiness, I would like to give you a statistic. Singapore. This is within Singapore. And a very sobering and alarming. Very sobering and alarming. If it's taken in, I extracted it from 2025. It says in 2024, divorce rate increased by 3.7% over 2023. And long-term stability remains a concern. 14.4% had divorced before the first 10th anniversary. That's sobering and shocking. All right, 10. They couldn't even last beyond 10. Couples married for 5 to 9 years accounted for the largest share of 29% of divorces in 2024. We are talking about Singapore. And this is scary. All right, something is quite alarming. And the counselors, especially those Christian counselors, they realize this and they say that. They focus, the main focus of marriages now is on happiness rather than holiness or godliness. This is influenced by the Hollywood culture. I can't, up to today, I still cannot fathom their rationale. I cannot fathom their philosophy when those celebrities, when they divorce, you know what did they say? Oh, we still love one another, but we are choosing our separate way. What does it mean? By we love one another, and yet we cannot live together. We have to divorce. That's influencing the entire world. All right? And the focus is more on selves rather than reflecting Christ. So this morning, we want to look into God's Word. What is God's Word teaching us? What is God's Word telling us or warning us? All right. From 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This is what I'm going to share with you. After accepting the invitation by Pastor King Kwan, I was wondering to myself, why of all the pastoral staff that I am asked to preach on the Mother's Day about godly wife and husband? So I was thinking to myself, perhaps it was because I have more gray hairs. Indeed, I have much gray hair. All right. short of becoming all silver. All right. Or was it because my marriage, I was married longer than all of them, than they all. Yes, short of a few years, it will be our golden anniversary. But we are not talking about ourselves. We are not here to teach about, oh, we have been long married, so I am qualified to teach you. Far from it. Because we all pastor staff, we all understand that we are students of the Word of God. Except that being as pastor, we exercise a little more discipline. We seek more grace from God to be able not only to teach by word, but to teach by example, to lead by example. So this morning we are going to learn from 1 Peter. What is the Apostle Peter trying to tell us? Before going into that, let's look at from the word, from the scripture, the purpose of marriage. It is to be a testimony. Like it or not, the moment we stand before God and the congregation and we put our pledge and say, I do, we are already a testimony. Especially as Christians, our friends are looking at us. It's either we are a wonderful testimony for the Lord, or we are a stumbling testimony. It all depends. We are a testimony. We can't run away from that. The second purpose is to reflect Christ. In a challenging world, in a very complex and full of tension, we are to reflect Christ. All right? Especially our marriages. And finally, all this will lead to glorify God. Will lead to glorify God. And for all this, I'd like to propose this morning the precise understanding and practicing of the roles of godly wife and godly husband is crucial to living out the God-intended purpose of marriage. Whether you are married or you have come to age, in a few years' time, you will be getting married. I'd like to repeat, the precise understanding and practicing of the role of godly wife and woman, a godly wife and husband, is crucial, essentially crucial to living out the God-intended purpose of marriage. Testimony, reflecting Christ and glorifying God. Not just understanding, but precise. Let's go to the role of the godly wife. The first aspect of that role is winning without words. Winning without words. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. The word be in subjection. In the original, it's in the middle voice, which suggests to us or teaches us that it is in subjection voluntarily, by your own volition. No one forced you, not the husband, not the creeds, It's just that you be in subjection voluntarily to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, which still not believing in the word, they also may outside the word, not without the word. The word without here is outside of the word, word of God, be won by the conversation, by the life of the wives. All right? Talking about that, we'd like to look at the conduct over argument. That's a common understanding, a common perception. Change comes through pressure, through persistent argument and insistence. Is it? At home? At our workplaces? It's always those who speak louder will always win the case, correct? I would exert my authority by raising my voice. That's the common perception everywhere else. All right? But God's word is different. God's word is teaching us a lifestyle testimony. Peter says that. All right? They obey not the word, but without or outside the word, be won by the conversation, the disposition, the lifestyle. Works with quiet, consistent weakness. A life lived faithfully before the Lord. A godly life speaks louder. Not a loud voice wins the day. It's a godly life speaks louder. That's a quiet disposition. Second one is the power of inner beauty. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hairs and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of heart. All right? I would just like to ask the sisters, only the sisters, who among us has no jewelry on you this morning? Put up your hand. Either earring, necklace, or whatever. Nothing, totally nothing. Can you put up your hand? Oh, you are indeed the very rare commodity. Yeah, in the minority. Everyone will put on. Peter is not against all this. Peter is not against all this. Peter is talking about and correcting a misplaced emphasis that by wearing big one, dangling one, I can attract. Not. Peter says, this is not the way. This is not the way. What does the world say? The world say is beauty is outward, visible, but they acknowledge that it's temporary. Correct? It is temporary. Once you come of age, or once you age, that's it. Fading away. Fading away. But what God says, beauty is inward. Mandarin says, 内在美. It's inward. It's spiritual. And that beauty is eternal. And that beauty is eternal. It does not fade away. It does not fade away. What does it mean? Certainly, it does not mean that it is weakness. I do not put on this. I am only inner beauty and outward not beauty. No. It means what? It means a spirit that is at rest in God. All right? Quiet disposition, inner beauty is a spirit at rest in God. It is a spirit, a heart that trusts God even when circumstances are difficult. The circumstances when Peter wrote this letter was really difficult. If you read chapter 1, that you are in heaviness of heart through many temptation or trials. Peter acknowledged that. They were the diaspora. Because of persecution, they what? Scattered in Asia Minor. And Peter couldn't visit them, wrote a letter to encourage them. The circumstances indeed was very, very difficult. And if under the difficult circumstances, we have to hold this. We have to adhere to the teaching of God. Much more when we are in Singapore. We have a relative, happy, quiet life. We don't have any restriction. All the more, we have to adhere to the teaching of God. And the third aspect is hope in God. Hope in God. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, singling out Sarah, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Peter noticed the example of Sarah. And let's notice this very carefully. What is the strength of Sarah? Her strength was not in her personality. Sometimes we like to talk about, oh, he has good personality, he has not so good personality. But Peter singled out Sarah not because of her personality. Peter specified this. Who trusted in God. Her trust is in God. Dear sisters, dear wives, all right, your trust is not in the beauty. It's not in what you are wearing. It's not in the position that you have in society. The trust is solely in God, that you are subjecting yourself voluntarily unto your own husbands. And that submission, by all means, is not blind obedience. If your husband disobeyed God's word and asked you to do something that is against God's will, not to obey. A wife cannot follow the order of the husband to commit suicide. No way. That's against God's will. So it's not blind obedience. It is not a loss of dignity as though that you are playing second fiddle. It is totally, solely trust of God. All right? Submission here is a conscious trust in God's sovereignty. Yes, God is sovereign. My husband is the head of the house. I have never lost my dignity I trust in God. God is sovereign. God knows. If I can correct, I correct. But ultimately, the decision is my husband's. So, a godly wine reflects Christ, not by control. All right? Many years ago, I learned from my uncle this word. I hope that you don't learn this word, but it's still in my mind. It's called Queen's Control. Do you know what it's Queen's Control? It's talking about the husband who's being controlled by the wife. All right? When I was working with him as an apprentice plumber, he was saying, Queen's Control. I said, what? What's Queen's Control? We don't have queen. Right? So, it is not by control, but by trust, by character, and a quiet strength. Why? Have you got it? Have you gotten what you have? Let's have a takeaway. All right? What is my takeaway today for wives? Trust in God. I want to exercise a quiet strength. Not by control, not by loud voice, not by yelling, but quiet strength. Not the outward adornings of golds and apparel, but of inner beauty. But of inner beauty, which is eternal and spiritual. All right, now wives, over, now it's husband, including myself. First and foremost, we all can say, wow, why wow? For husband, it's only one verse, one single verse. Whoa, it's a lot easier, all right? Relatively easy, not so. Not so. Let's look at it. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. What does it mean by according to knowledge? The word has the meaning of dwell with them with an intelligent recognition of the nature of marriage relation. I repeat, dwell with our wives with an intelligent recognition of the nature of marriage relation. That's the idea of knowledge. All right? First, know her. Know her. Understand her. Be intentional. Why be intentional? Because it is not inborn. It is not innate. We are not born with that. We have to learn. We have to discipline. And be present. Not by remote control. All the while, face to face. Be present. Three things. All right? Living with understanding. And second thing, showing honors as co-heirs. Showing honors as co-heirs. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker here in a sense that it is purely physical and not intellectual or moral. In fact, some wives intellectually are more intelligent than the husband. In society, they may be even up into the corporate ladder. All right. Here, weaker vessel is definitely referring to physical aspect of it. And this is revolutionary. In those days, I tell you, cultures, in those days, the culture is that women were often undervalued, belittled. All right. But Peter declares, give honor, respect, dignity unto the wife as unto a physically weaker vessel. Because you are being co-heirs together of the grace of life, of God's grace. Husband and wife are co-heirs of God's grace. What does it mean by co-heir? First, equal worth. Equal worth. Because both husband and wife bear the image of God equally. Not one of greater value and one of lesser value. Equally. And second thing, it is equal dignity. All right. Neither is lesser before God. Yes, the wife may be weaker physically, but it's not lesser in the sight of God. An equal standing. And with this, I would like to say in our premarital counseling, I don't use this. I use the one that we had at our responsive reading, Ephesians. I told the same thing. It says, likewise, ye wives, likewise, ye husband. When those verse is addressing to the husband, it is addressing directly to the husband and not to the wife, so that the wife can use this as a quote for the husband. Just like a husband, when they are in argument, tell wife, you must be in subjection to me. Then the wife will answer, sure, sure, except that you love me more than yourself. So, where does it end? Nothing. So, Peter is addressing those things to the wives, not for the husband to take it as something against the wife. All right? So, we have to understand this, because both stand equally before God as co-heirs of God. That's an equal standing. Therefore, a husband must treat his wife with respect, dignity, and care. With this, I'd like to add a warning to you. Either husband or wife, when you go out, all right, socializing, meeting your friends, colleagues, and that, husband or wife, do not belittle you're the other part in the presence of your friends and colleagues. Sometimes I hear, my wife, she doesn't know anything. What do you mean? Show respect, dignity, and care, even in the presence of friends, in the presence of colleagues. All right, do not belittle one another. Here comes the hardest part for the husband. Heeding a serious warning. Speaking to me as well. That your prayers be not hindered. Not to the wife, but to the husband. That your prayer be not hindered. This is sobering. This is indeed sobering. A husband's spiritual life is directly connected to how he treats his wife. Husband, including myself, let's hear it again. A husband's spiritual life is directly connected to how he treats his wife. Is this not scary? It is. Let's heed this serious warning. All right? How a husband treats his wife directly affects his relationship with God. If you do not treat your wife with dignity, care, and honor, it is affecting your relationship with God. So, husband, let's heed this warning. All right? Marriage is never separated from spirituality. Part and parcel. That's why church wedding is a very important beginning. Standing before God and before the congregation, we are saying what we say. We still remember the pledge that we say. And I hope that all of us will remember. All right? It is part and parcel of our spirituality. It is a reflection of our spirituality. Let's make every endeavor to uphold it. For the husband, what's our takeaway? Honoring our wife. Show them with dignity. Living with understanding. Understanding a marriage relation with intelligence. All right? And exercising our responsibility. Although it's one verse, it is packed with a lot of things. Now let's come to husband and wife. It is a shared calling. It is a shared calling. Encompasses unity, love, and humility. Especially in a challenging world. I don't know. I think all of us can echo that. Yes, in Singapore, we are living in relatively peaceful life. But there are a lot of tension. It is almost like living in a what? Living in a high pressure society. It's like a pressure cooker. When you wake up, especially those who are still working, the pressure is tremendous. But even under those circumstances, let's exercise our responsibility, our shared calling. You ask, Pastor, is that possible? Is that feasible? Yes. The answer is yes. Because we are not depending upon our own strength, on our own effort. It is depending upon God, upon the triune God. Christ transform us. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We can. Christ has transformed us. We are no longer the persons that we used to be. And the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ empowers us. Empowers us. All right? Not by our own power. If it is by our own power, to be honest, we will all fail. We will all fail. If we think that we can make it by on our own, I think we overestimated ourselves. So what is our final challenge? Let's look to God. Let's look to Christ and the Holy Spirit. Help us. Be with us. Sustain us. Give us vibrancy that our marriage reflect Christ. That our marriage be a testimony to the outside world. Yes, we must acknowledge that before Christ comes, the morality of the world is going downward. But we can still uphold. We can swim upstream. We can defy the odds because it's God's power. Let us pray. Lord, indeed, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, in these days and age where divorce rate is going up, Lord, we pray that you will preserve us, preserve our marriages, that we, our marriages will be a testimony to the world, will reflect you, and ultimately bring glory to your name. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.